Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Mahogany Jones, and you're tuned in right now to the Hip Hop Digest Show. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked. Keep it locked.
You a fraud. Type nigga front for the broads. You know I don't fuck with you, but you be like, that's my dog. And she asks me, and I'm like, bitch, dog. And he dancing around like Chris Brown from Wall to Wall. Fucking B-boy, you don't got no shame. And I can tell by your dress you don't got no game. You keep shaking with the gun. You don't got no aim. You ain't heard, these bullets ain't got no name. I make it rain on the block. I bring pain with the Glock. They say my face don't look the same with the stock. I get money. It don't cost a thing to get popped. Just add a little bleach and get the stain with the mop. You a down south rapper, all of that's in acting with dumbass hooks. Shorty got a booty clapping. I told you before, save all the rapping. R.I.P. the pimp seed and I get the smacking.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E. Grizio. What up?
What's good?
No down.
Peace.
What's good with his skills, man?
Oh, my goodness.
So let's just do it right in. Yo, first topic right off the break, yo, before we even start in. Rest in Paradise 2, government name. I believe it's pronounced Akeem Meekins, also known as Tech N9ne, but if I got that wrong, I certainly apologize. Wow, the battle rapper passed away this week. He was a baby, yo. He was only 32 years old.
Crazy.
Cause of death unknown. Representing Philadelphia, Germantown, Wayne Ave to the fullest.
North Philly.
You know what I'm saying? North Philly. Yo, he was such an influence, yo, on this show. Because not only did he make our greatest intros that we've ever done, is that he also influenced just the vernacular. The show that we did with that R. Kelly shit, and I was talking about that she's like Billy with the Jones. I got that directly from Tech N9ne, kid. So he was such an influence on this show, man. We were big, big fans of his.
It was his, not just what he was saying, but his delivery, yo. His delivery alone was defeating heads.
That's what we was in here talking about before the show. We was like, he knocked niggas out with the delivery. They're done before they even get started. You hate to hit for him to go first because you're done.
So, you know, no doubt about that, man. I was very sad to hear of his untimely passing. And, you know, we just definitely want to say I'm going to shout out and honor him, you know, like we always do on the Hip Hop Digest. Yo, rest in peace, God. And, you know, tell Tupac what's good.
There you go.
No doubt. So before we get into the joint proper, so what was I doing? Oh, E. Color was spending time with family last week. So that's why we did not get in.
Family first, first.
No doubt, of course. And I want to give a special shout out to Ice Lord, who was spectacular in the interview, you know, held us down. So definitely want to give a shout out to him.
I think he might have picked up a few Hip Hop Digest fans.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
Like, but Twitter and whatnot. Well, they're feeling young man.
I mean, well, he's a very talented young man, you know, and I like where his head is, you know what I mean? So, I mean, right now, so shout to him.
There's a different meaning to the term when you hear the term gone, get the money and run.
So that's what's good. So E. Color coming with that Steve Miller Band for those of you who don't know what's good.
History.
No doubt. Right. We old heads over here.
Of course. No doubt. And speaking of being old heads, we got a party report. So when did we do that party? Was it last week or the week before? It was the week before.
Yes.
We and Kurt G got out. We DJ'd a party in E. Color's old hood. We was literally
right around the corner.
Tell them about that old hood. Drive through it. What that old hood look like? There's a reason I'm doing this.
Oh, okay.
There was many mansions out there in that old hood.
Many mansions. Lot of
manicured lawns and shit.
Manicured lawns.
99.9% black.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. All black folk back up in that cul-de-sac, too.
Okay, so now that we got that out of the way, let's talk about the party and how it went and who was there.
So we get there, whatever, it's nondescript, and you know it's a Jive Mini Mansion funk basement, you know what I'm saying? That whole shit, me and Kurt G setting up or whatever. We get there, there's a cat in the basement already right off the break. Yo, y'all want y'all niggas some brass construction.
What y'all know about that?
What y'all know about that?
Little did he know that we listen to our parents' music.
Yes, sir.
We know all about brass construction.
Uh-huh. So I'm, yeah. So Kurt G blessed me and shit. He let me get on the wheels and shit. I got on the wheels first. I'm ripping the whole Mo-Funk folder. I'm brass construction. I'm Tom Brown. I'm war. I'm all of that shit. You know what I mean?
Let the people know what Mo-Funk is, because you just put that out there and said it just out of the blue.
Mo-Funk is a folder with all the classic funk you can think of. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. You think of people in that era of funk, Earth, Wind & Fire, Rick James, you know, like I said, War, Brass Construction, Tom Cameo. Brown, Cameo, all of that shit is what we call the Mo Funk folder. The more funk than you can handle. So we had a cast bubbling down there and shit. You know what I mean? And it really was a very enjoyable party, because we really played what we wanted to play.
For the most part.
Yes.
For the most part. But then I had the smart ideal of trying to give the youngins, there were a few youngins down there, some of the stuff that they like to hear. And that was a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was a big mistake.
Yeah.
Because that just fucked everything up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So then, to be dead ass honest with you, the party kind of, when it really did bubble, it really bubbled on the two opposite ends of the musical spectrum.
Wow.
Go-Go, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And Baltimore House.
Wow.
Club Baltimore music. Club.
Oh, they was bubbling off the club.
Yeah. They was definitely doing their thing. So, but that's the party report. We don't get out and we don't DJ that much. So we certainly was like, yo, that's what's good. So that's the DJ report.
Shout out to One to Dial out there with his daughter tonight. We saw dope. Him on the text chain.
Yeah, that was dope.
Sir. And she can't get busy on the wheels, too.
Oh, it's so dope.
Yeah.
That is so dope.
And we feel bad for you, Big Rush.
Oh.
We heard about the Sweet 16.
No doubt. So.
Real quick. It's funny that you were saying that you were in my old hood, because the kids that was there when I was there must have gone off to college or whatever, because that's what I thought you was going to run into, those little kids that live out there. Remember how I used to tell you how they wanted to be so hard and all that kind of stuff? And I'm like, come on, yo, you don't even understand. But they must have moved on. So I'm happy to hear that report you guys gave.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good, pretty easy party, as parties go. So anyway, let's get into the show proper after all the tributes and the chit-chat. First topic on the Hip Hop Digest is Roc Nation has stepped up to help Lil Uzi Vert's music career. Lil Uzi Vert, government name Samir Woods, has been entangled with a battle with his record label. Okay, so let me give you some background. Uzi Vert, again government, Samir Woods, is signed to a label called Generation Now. And that label is owned by Don Cannon and DJ Drama. Now, is that Don Cannon? Cannon. Is
yes,
that who that is?
That is Don Cannon.
Okay.
Philadelphia.
Yes, yes, yes. And DJ Drama. Drama's from Philly, too.
Drama's from Philly, yeah.
Yeah. So, Uzi Vert's from Philly, right? So this,
yes.
This, yeah,
yes.
So this is a hometown connection.
Expected.
Right. So he signed to that label, and he's upset about delays and shit on his new album. Now, and he goes on, of course, social media, and he's saying stuff like, if you want your second album to drop number one on the charts, the first rule is don't hang out with the boss's girlfriend. Now, I don't know. It sounds like some greaseball shit. You know what I mean? It sounds like some greaseball shit.
That sounds like something you shouldn't be putting out there in social media.
Right. He also advised people against signing to Generation Now. and referred to DJ Drama as an old person. Fuck that old nigga.
Damn, he fived up Suge Knight, huh? All in the video.
Yeah, I mean, I just find this to be pretty interesting. Now, as far
but,
as...
But yeah, he's getting help from another old guy.
Right, now, I was going to say, now, as far as old guys go...
As I know, Hov is our age.
Right, you took the words right at my mouth. As far as, of late, as far as old guys go, Jay-Z and his team over at Roc Nation are behind the scenes trying to help him navigate his legal and business situations. And, of course, they cited that he came in at the last minute and rescued Lil Wayne and let Lil Wayne release shit on Tidal and help him pay his taxes and shit. I don't know what Jay's doing. I'm sure Jay was just a hook to get everybody to look at the article. But what this is Uzi Vert pissed at Don Cannon and Drama and them niggas, you know, for the delay of his album. And he's talking Gangsta a lot of Chris shit. Hills. Yeah, exactly. And he's talking a lot of shit. Now, I don't, you know, the music industry is so treacherous.
Extra treacherous.
You know, it's just so treacherous. I'm going to say this and I'm going to say it again. I don't know what is to be gained by doing a lot of internet, you know, talking shit. I don't understand that.
It's below your age range. It's a whole phenomenon. But I'm not, no, it ain't even beyond your range, because there's old heads to be doing it.
Oh, and we're going to address a little bit of that next.
Okay, well, it's part of the whole thing of wanting to be important and wanting to have, not important, having an audience.
And there you
go. That shit's addictive.
There you go. That is very addictive.
If you have 750,000 followers that are hanging on your every word, that shit can be addictive, and you just jump out there.
Niggas gotta feed the beast. They gotta feed the beast.
They cannot forget that you cannot take the shit back once it's out there.
Yeah. Well, but they seem to take it back because you always have this rapper X says XYZ about you know, rapper Y. And then 2 days later, rapper X clarifies statements about rapper Y. They do take it back. And they use that word clarify so fucking, like, that's a take back. Like, oh, nah, what I really meant was, you know, I wasn't sleeping with this girl. We just friends.
So you haven't seen the other trend either, huh?
Nah, like you said, I'm kind of...
They go live and be talking to each other.
Okay.
Sometimes greasy, sometimes not greasy. But it's like, it's a whole phenomenon, B. Right.
So let's do part two of this topic. And I knew we were going to get into this, talk about greaseball shit. Shout out to your boy Easy Bake. It's not a slight. It's just saying where Easy Bake did get on the text chain talking about we're going to have to, on the Hip Hop Digest, retract a lot of that Jay Prince talk. In regarding the chain getting recovered. Shout out to Easy Bake, but I am not impressed. Not impressed by getting a goddamn piece of jewelry back. Nope. Okay? I'd be really impressed if he'd really be guiding the young man to stay out of a situation like that.
How about that?
See, because, you know, when you think you're playing that street game, and yes, yeah, I think he's been very fortunate. Okay, because Puffy was playing that street dick game and got burned in the worst way. Suge Knight playing the street dick game got burnt in the worst way. Jay-Z learned by fucking with True Life playing that street dick game. Okay, exactly. Or, you know, trying to stab Lance on and doing dumb shit. I mean, granted, they were all younger men. And money was clouding a lot of situations, and Suge Knight was just a straight fucking antisocial cat to begin with. I'd be really impressed if Jay Prince would show real leadership and about protecting these guys' lives instead of trying to protect some internet reputation about his gangster.
It ain't even internet. It's just the what it is for so many years. For all these years, Jay Prince was just like, I guess almost like a boogeyman. He was like the gangster behind the scenes that nobody, you knew you were not going to fuck with him. Nobody, even Suge Knight, nobody would fuck with Jay Prince. Because he was, there's something about this nigga that you did not want to fuck with him. And now in this new era of putting your shit out there. He's now come from behind the curtain and come from under the bed. He's no longer the boogie monster. You can see him now. And he has to now be the monster on purpose. You have to see the monster do what the monster does. Before, the monster could do what he does and you wouldn't know that what was happening.
But aren't the scariest monsters unseen?
Exactly.
But I'm just saying, man, let's not get away from him. I get those, the politics of that, but I don't know. I'm just, again, shout to Easy Bake. It's not a slight, but there's no way I can be impressed by a retrieval of a piece of jewelry.
For the record, that shout's from King Killer.
So
alone.
Oh, no doubt. I like Easy Bake, and I love his platform. It really makes me think about a lot of things. So, but I'm saying that straight up. You know, I'm not impressed by that, B. So that's what's good. Yo, next up on the Hip Hop Digest is rapper Lupe Fiasco has slammed his record label, Atlantic Records. Your boy Lupe says what the labels are doing, or at least his label, Atlantic Records, attempting to strip artists of their creative identity and control, and also for personally trying to get him to use ghostwriters.
Wow.
Atlantic Records. Lupe goes on to say, Atlantic is so filthy with this shit, they would turn around and have a team of writers and a team of producers waiting for you. He said they send you to the studio with the hot producer at the time and a creative team of writers. They got a whole song waiting on you when you get in the studio. And he said some niggas is in there, even got whole verses written for you, ready to go. So, I often said, as successful as commercial rap is now, everybody wants to say, you know, well, shit, that's how it's always been done. Hip-hop is always had, and this is the lesson, hip-hop has always had a self-regulating thing with itself. We self-regulated, okay? There was no team of writers in there because we self-regulated. That's what made hip-hop special. Hip-hop is no longer special. And I know Atlantic Records, I don't know what label Cardi signed to or any other commercial artist, you know. Certainly I know that's how your boy Aubrey do it. You know, with the whole team up there crafting whole shit and under the guise of like he's really nice. No, he's not. He, what Lupe described is what is going on in commercial rap. That's why commercial rap one day, who's to say, but one day will fall on that shit, because that's what everybody else fell on. Because the record labels is hiring motherfuckers for you, not the self-regulating where the streets decided who was nice, or when somebody came up out of nowhere and we recognized the skill, ushered him into a position of leadership. Now, whether if he made a career out of that, i.e. cannabis or not, hey, that shit happens, you right. know? But the specialness about hip-hop is lost when you got a fucking team like Atlantic is doing, probably to most of their artists. Prefabricated rhymes, prefabricated shit in there. Man, fuck that. That's not hip hop.
Right. Well, that part of the music industry is industry wide. And I think that they have just basically are trying to turn commercial hip hop into that. It's just a money churning machine. You got songwriters and.
They have turned commercial hip hop into that.
But then there it is.
They have turned.
Again, that's why they need to, you gotta call it commercial hip hop.
And the first thing somebody's gonna be like, oh, well, y'all motherfucker, you. Yo, Puffy did that shit with Biggie. And that's not necessarily true. Only thing Puffy did was have, you know, hired, put people, Trackmasters, Primo, et cetera, on retainer, get some beats. Biggie comes in, he picks his own beats, and then he writes on them. Right.
Imagine
there,
that.
You know, that type of shit. None of this whole team in there. Well, really, I think you ought to, we're going to have the hook sung like this, and we're going to have Adele standing over there in a pot of roses and that type of nut shit.
Well, see, B.
But it's not hip hop.
B. Y'all old ass niggas. Y'all, the fuck is wrong with you old motherfuckers?
Sick of you. Turn to Uncle Ruckus on.
Why this old nigga back here complaining? Nigga, do you know this is what's going on? This is commercial hip hop. It's called commercial for a reason, nigga. This is what they do. They do this in commercial music, period. Now, hip hop, which we don't even consider this shit hip hop anyway, so why do we even give a fuck about it? But these niggas, this is what they doing now. Hip hop has become, commercial hip hop has become a part of that machine where they can just turn them out. Just like Motown, they just turn them out. If somebody writes the song, somebody makes, they make the music and send somebody in there and you go sing.
So, let me give you some full disclosure. And now, for full disclosure, this has been done in the glory years. The whole Roxanne whole shit was developed by Full Force. The hooks were sung by Full Force. Now, granted, I'll shout out to UTFO. They did their own rhyming about that shit. But that whole shit with the real Roxanne, all them niggas was on Select Records. So, yeah, this has been done. Okay, I'm not saying that we were in a land of 1,000% purity. And what I'm getting to once again here is once we start getting into cats who are calling themselves the GOAT, the top five, that's right. What I'm getting to. I'm not talking
about live.
Yeah, right. I'm not talking about other cats, you know, or cats with three or four joints. I'm talking about the GOAT, you know, and the Canadian GOAT has a team.
The Mountie?
The Canadian Mountie, a whole team of Mounties around him. You can't even see him until it's time for the record release. So that's all I'm saying. It's just not hip hop. It doesn't come from a hip hop organic place, you know, and that is commercial rap. It's not hip hop. I grant you that. It is commercial rap. So, and which I'll add on top of that, I forget the young man's name. It was on the text chain, and they were talking about how Billboard took him off some little Nas X nigga. I don't know the fucking name of this nigga. Some motherfucker doing country rap, and he landed on the Billboard country chart. They took that motherfucker off of there. Now, why did they take him off?
People complained
because it ain't country.
Exactly.
And of course Billboard has a lot more respect for country music than they do for commercial rap, because they'll put any type of shithead on the top of the charts with a commercial rap. It don't matter, okay? But you're not gonna fuck with country. They probably have Willie Nelson and everybody else calling up there and saying, if you don't get that motherfucker out of there,
damn,
Merle Haggard, you mean all them niggas and shit. So, you know, and again, I heard names, you know, I think it was the Lehmans who were talking about Darius Rucker, the only nigga, you know, shout to Darius Rucker, shout to Charlie Pride, and shout to Ray Charles, and all them was doing legitimate country music. Don't make me pull out the motherfucking, the Western sounds of country music, Ray Charles on niggas. I'll do it.
You know I'll do it.
I'll do it. I'm just saying, you know, this is ridiculous, yo.
Hell, that's kind of, is it, so who's that on, though? Is it on the, should we be talking about the folks in country that got that yank? Or should we be talking trash about ourselves, not us?
Well, shit, I mean, you have to talk about everybody. We have to talk about country music who was not fucking going for it, B.
So are you mad at that?
No, I love it. Okay, then, I mean, because they're protecting what is the most valuable thing about their music, okay?
There you go.
We have failed because we didn't protect what is the most valuable thing about our music. Like I said, to me, I can deal with a change in the sound and I can deal with different trends, but the organic place that hip hop comes from no longer comes from that place. Okay.
Commercially.
It no longer, everybody damn near on that whole top 10 on commercial rap is on a major. And I guarantee you, and you know, including the Canadian Mountie himself, all got writers. All got teams coming in with fucking probably 75% of the album already laid the fuck out. It's not hip hop.
But B, I'm starting to have a softer stance on that because
indeed,
I'm gonna tell you why. Because a lot of our heroes, we don't really hear them speaking on ghostwriting and none of that kind of stuff at all.
Well, you know, one thing that a lot of our heroes, and not all of our heroes, but goddamn it, a lot of our heroes are fucking making an awful lot of money off this new shit.
Yeah.
You know, it's the a DJ lot of dramas.
Behind the scenes, right, making that money. Right,
yeah.
It's okay now.
I'm just saying, a lot of our heroes didn't give a fuck about it, and they're making all kinds of money, not just the Don Cannons and the dramas, but the Jays and the Leors and everybody that you can't even think of. Again, I remember how in utter shock my jaw when I found out that Stat Quo was Lil Xanax's manager. I was shocked. I was like, Stat Quo? Not Statlanta Stat Quo. Not that portfolio rhyme in Atlanta, nigga. Yes.
Bags.
Bags talk.
Oh my God. So
you know, remember that old commercial? I must protect this house.
That house is made of money.
That's for goddamn sure.
And that's the only thing they worried about protecting.
Yeah, that's why you broke old niggas on Gunner's fucking stand that shit, nigga.
Always and complaining.
Integrity ain't gonna
shit.
Buy you a dinner, nigga.
Fuck all that integrity shit, nigga. Take that integrity with you, nigga. Get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah, all the niggas with integrity, I know, broke.
And integrity got you riding in a Lambo, my nigga.
Where your chains at, my nigga? What your bank account look like, my nigga?
Hey, I paid my bills for this month. That was good. All right, let's keep it rocking. Next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is... Now, this is written by a gentleman, I think a gentleman, don't know, but it's Aaron A. And this comes from hotnewhiphop.com. Kodiak Black insists that he's on the same level as Tupac, Biggie, and Nas. Now, before we get into this topic and the ridiculousness of the topic.
How ridiculous is it now?
I got
now?
A simple question, though.
Okay.
You got to preface this with a simple question. Why do any of these young bulls always name Biggie, Pac, Nas, Jay, etc., the Bun, always the same name? Nobody ever says that, yo, nigga, I'm better than Redman, Ghostface, and Lot of Dark Man. You know what I'm saying? nobody
shout out to Lot of Dark Man. Right. You brought him out.
Yeah, I'm just saying, how come nobody says that shit?
Because those guys weren't in the scope. Those guys were the GOATs. And anybody that talks about their top five, right, commercially, right, talk about top five, top three, even if they don't know nobody else in rap, names them niggas you just named.
Yep. I mean, because they was babies when them songs were out, yo.
It's always the same names. And I'm just like, Danny, you motherfuckers know anything about hip hop?
Well,
I mean, he could name a lot of different guys.
But those are the guys.
There's old heads that don't know a whole lot about hip hop too, B. Don't.
I get it, but I'm just saying.
Maybe that's why they don't.
Why wouldn't he say? I'm just saying. Why wouldn't a guy like Kodak say, okay, I'm better than Flo Rida, Trick Daddy, and Uncle Luke? I mean, why wouldn't he say that?
Says that those guys were good.
He's saying he's on the same level with the niggas that everybody say.
Right.
Was the greatest at one point in time in their life.
The consensus dudes.
Right. And that's what he said
with them.
He's up there with them. Now that's the ridiculous part of the statement. But at somewhere on some level, he is on the same level with those niggas.
Commercially.
Maybe even if it's just that they're all human beings. He's on some level he is. Okay. On the same level with them.
So let me read this statement by Mr. Aaron A. And maybe it puts it into focus a little bit. Mr. Aaron A. said, there's an argument to be made about how Kodiak Black doesn't get the credit he deserves as a rapper. A Dying to Live was a testament to his depth as an artist and his overall skill set. despite constantly being categorized as a mumble rapper. This is from Mr. Aaron A. at, who's he write for again? AllNewHipHop.com.
Hot New Hip Hop.
Hot New Hip Hop, yes, I'm sorry. And when you're writing an article and you're writing when you're writing on that tone.
But you got to know who he's writing for. Hot New Hip Hop.
Right.
The new hip hop.
Okay.
Not hot old hip hop.
You know what's unfortunate, and I'm gonna say it, the elephant in the room, I'm gonna go ahead and talk about it. I have listened to that kid, and I've heard where I had to pay real close attention, where he had one record where he was talking very conscious, all kind of stuff. But when you listen to his regular kind of stuff, even if he's saying the most intelligent shit ever, it's hard to understand him, which is gonna put him in a category of a mumble rapper. And even if you try hard to listen to what he's saying, I still doubt that it's going to be anywhere on the level of a Jay-Z, Biggie, or a Tupac.
But see, inside of his head, when he's rhyming, he sounds just as good as those niggas sound.
Oh.
To the rest of us, he sounds like a mumble rapper.
Mr. Aaron,
I hate my voice.
Mr. Aaron A. Also goes on to say, many might think his comments were outlandish, but they're a lot more respectful than his previous comments on Tupac and Biggie in 2016. Mr. Black says, I'm better than Tupac and Biggie. I say that so you know where my head is at. And they're trying to do a compare and contrast. I get it. I guess I get it in the fact that Mr. Kodiak emotionally captures what a Yumbo feels. He captures that. I don't know if Aubrey or any of these other guys do it, but Kodiak seems to do that. And I even said this on the show. If off stage, if I was probably fucking with somebody and I would probably like Kodiak more than them other niggas, because he seems to be, you know, a cat who is just like bang.
More genuine.
Just genuine. And so I could see that. Oh, that's what's on. East Swervin just got a pair of slip mats. Shout out to East Swervin on his new slip mats and shit.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? Yeah, no doubt. But, you know, I just want you to step your game up, nigga.
These niggas is now that.
Yeah, hold on. Step your game up, nigga.
Slip mats is the better. I see you. It's the best.
I'm going to just be quiet until my next shipment comes in the mail. Okay. And then I'll be like, okay. What, nigga?
Oh, okay.
As you can see how much they actually even give a fuck about him saying that he's better than Tupac and Biggie, a couple of rappers that are deceased.
We in here comparing slip mats, but I'm sorry.
Right.
but back to the point at hand. So I guess I see that, and I don't want to miss that point, is that to Young Bulls, he captures the emotion and the frustration that Young Bulls feel. And so in that way, you know, a cat like Swervin, the same emotion that he felt like when Tupac was shooting at law officers, he might, you know, he captures that in a Young Bull sort of kind of way, in a way that Young Boys feel.
You know what I would appreciate more? Honestly, this is honest. I'd appreciate if he just was like, I'm the greatest right now. I'm the best out here. Don't compare yourself to none of that other stuff. Just go ahead and say you're the best out here, right?
And
I won't say nothing.
But that was my next question. Thank you for bringing it up. My next question is, instead of saying that he's better than these guys who are going to elicit an emotional response from people your parents are older, why doesn't he come right the fuck out and say, yo, I'm going to take the Canadian Mountie out.
Ooh.
I'm nice.
Ooh, ain't saying that, huh?
Oh, J. Cole, what you want, nigga? I'm nice. Kendrick, you can get this too. See, that's what we did.
Yeah.
See, it didn't matter if Hov was at the top. 50 of them niggas was coming, how to rob a nigga, and every last one of them niggas with money got nervous.
Yeah, they did. Is this real?
No, I'm just saying. So, that's what I don't understand. See, a lot of these Young Bulls talking a lot of shit to about a generation of music. A, number one, they never heard. Number two, don't want to hear it and don't give a fuck about it.
Or they're deceased, as I said.
And deceased. How about your
sure
man?
Sure didn't say he's better than Black Thought.
No, well,
but see, there would that's where the rub would come in at. if you're going to say you're the best out right now, it's like you can't be the best out right now. You may be the best out of these commercial niggas, what you're saying.
But if you say, but he ain't saying that. He didn't say, what's good, Kendrick? I'm better than Kendrick. I'm better than the Canadian Mountie, and I'm better than J. Cole. He didn't say none of that shit.
Because that would, as you say, elicit a response from the generation that he's a part of, that he doesn't want that backlash.
See,
he needs those followers.
See,
he don't give a fuck about us because we don't follow that nigga.
Yeah, but the thing is that now, see, that lets me know that a lot of this shit is, that's why young boys and people always talk about how come we can't bridge the respect gap. Young boys don't give a fuck about us. We damn sure don't give a fuck about mumble rap. Nigga, don't play these type of politics with me, nigga. You don't play these type of politics with me. Take your own generation out. Because, you know, that's what Biggie and Pac and all these other niggas had to take niggas out or battle with niggas in their own generation. So, nah, fuck that, nigga.
Yeah, B, I don't understand the reason for, like you said, for these niggas to actually say something about older niggas other than to get clickbait, other than to get a response from us to say something about them so they can have motherfuckers out here just talking shit about them and so they can respond. Because you know how Kodak said, fuck that. You ain't going to be commenting all on my shit. I'm clapping back. So he just want a reason to clap back at niggas, then yeah, go ahead and keep coming at old head niggas and talking about people that they found as being the goats in their time.
Yeah, well, again, so I'm looking for the motherfuckers now, real talk in commercial rap, who's going to talk about taking out the Canadians and shit, you know what I mean?
If that was going to happen in commercial rap, it would have already happened.
Ain't that the truth?
It didn't.
Well, it did happen, but cats try to get out there and try to invalidate. Talk about don't count. That was too serious and shit.
Why are you talking about that man child? We weren't even supposed to be talking about BFD, but I'm getting out of the car the other day. You know how when the Bluetooth, you turn all your shit off, the radio just come on or whatever. And I hear this shit about, I'm sick of these niggas, sick of these niggas. I was like, what the fuck is this? I didn't even know it was Drake. Because I sat there, I was like, who the fuck is this sick of niggas? It was fucking Drake's record Mob Ties or some shit. I was like, get the fuck out the car, Irvin. Fuck, he's sitting here listening to this shit for.
Because he's sick of niggas.
Yeah, he was, but oh well.
Jay Prince in the studio hyping him up.
Hype man.
So that's good.
That's what, maybe Jay Prince better look more closely at his clients or his money bags. Suppliers, maybe instead of looking at other people.
So next topic on the Hip Hop Digest is shout to the 45 RPM, the 45 single, that is record, 45 revolutions per minute, a 7
little record.
A little record. I'm sorry, you
came out with that, I was like, what?
Yeah, sorry, I had to break that all the way down. The 45 RPM single format, Revolution Pop Music, okay? It came out on March 15th, 1949. RCA Victor became the first label to roll out records that were smaller, 7 inches in diameter, and held less music, only a few inches per each side, but they quickly displaced the in vogue at the time, 78s. Now,
what? So, the old dinosaur records?
Right. So,
that's 70,
just a big, right. thick ass
records. Right. So let's talk about records here. Records were running very fast at 78 revolutions per minute on a very thick piece of vinyl that was so brittle and so easy to break. It's incredible that they can even still last. I have a whole shed full, not a whole shed, but I got a couple of stacks of 78s myself. But all that being said, the 45 RPM was introduced in 1949, and the teenagers at that particular time took to it because, what are they saying here? It was less expensive than the 78s. They were priced to begin at 65 cents each.
Isn't that nice?
Yes, yes. And Bill Haley in the comments, Rock Around the Clock went on to sell 3 million 45s and 1955s.
We're going to rock around the clock tonight.
Yes, yes. And with that being said, 45s lasted. It was all the singles were 45s. Okay? No doubt.
Oh, he's RCA Victor.
This nigga done pulled out a 78.
Yes, sir.
So that lasted until the mid 70s when, of course, the advent of the 12 inch single. But that's a whole nother discussion. But what I want to talk about is the 45. 45s are gentrified now. Okay. I mean, because in hip hop, the 45 was always there. Shout to Mark the 45 King. Okay, and a lot of people and our parents had plenty of 45s. The roof of this studio was covered with 45s. So, no doubt. But now shout to, you know, Scratch Live, Soretto. They're, you know, everybody's printing up, you know, 45 RPM control vinyls, and that's a fun thing to do. I get it, you know, but it's so gentrified now and shit, you know, fucking gentrified ass millennials and shit, you know.
You're just an old hating ass nigga.
I am. Well, but the point, what I really want to get to as far as millennials go, is that the 45s, 12-inch, long play LP, the hobby is at an interesting point. If you are a record collector, it's an interesting point. I'm not going to reveal my sources because, see, I got some records. Yeah, I
no
got some.
Kings, no governments.
Yeah, nah, I'm not going to reveal my sources, but I will say the best value is the under $5 button on Discogs. I'm not going to reveal the store that I shop on because I got some records I don't want nobody to buy. And so I get a chance to buy them. But that being said, Kurt G will attest that I got a nice two big bricks in the mail the last 2 weeks of records that I bought for about $1.12 all the way up to $3, you know, big records, nice records. Okay, the millennial hobby about the record, and that includes 45s, is that they are getting soaked. There's really not singles to be printed, and I get it because of the cost. Everybody's printing up just strictly albums, and I have bought new albums and will continue to buy them. But man, the hobby, if you're in the hobby or you want to get in the hobby, you can go to Discogs, always check the store that you're looking at and always check for the under $5. That's the best bargain out there. The particular store,
great tidbit, yo.
Let me tell you something. The particular store that I'm dealing with is $5 shipping. No matter how many records you buy.
Wow.
Yes, $5 shipping, no matter. And it is a great value for what you're getting. Great value. So just a tidbit, as well as, and everything's on there. 45s are on there. A lot of 12 inches and a couple of albums. All under $5.
It's amazing.
So.
Shit, they was $3.99, $4.99, $5.99 at the time.
Exactly. So I'm just saying, you know, millennials, I am mad.
You are mad.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me be honest with you. Millennials, to me, Jive fucked up the hobby a little bit because there's certain shit that millennials are just fucking paying. They're getting soaked. They're getting soaked on gear. They're getting soaked on records. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Wu-Tang is a classic group. I get it. But some of the prices for those 12 inches and some of the prices for them albums are just outlandish.
Wow.
This is totally outlandish.
And people are paying it.
They are, no doubt. I'm just saying. So that's just for you record collectors and people who want to get into the hobby. You know, again, I wanted to shout out to the 45, which is, making a little comeback, and I am going to get me some control vinyl 45s. That's going to be fun to spin with those, no doubt. So that's what's up, man.
I like to throw it in. I don't like to buy shit online, to be honest with you. I don't like to do it, but I'm just a thrift shop head, yo. If I'm driving somewhere and I see a thrift shop, I'm stopping because you never know what you might find nothing but a bunch of 78s. Or you may find that there's some old DJ that got tired of DJing and gave all his wax to the Goodwill.
Now, see, that's different. Now, see, but that's the hobby in the way it used to be. I guess because of these boutique record stores who open up, and then you go in there, and then you clearly see some things that are marked outrageously. And it's because it's some motherfucker millennial in there with his MacBook Air up on Discogs, pricing it and looking up prices on Discogs and shit, talking about, this is going to be $6.95. Bullshit.
That sounds like two record stores that will go unnamed here on Wilshire Boulevard.
Right.
I'll just leave it at that.
Right, exactly. Now, the Goodwills, we have a store in Montgomery County called Friends of the Library. The records are still a dollar. See, that's different. That's old school digging.
Gotta really love it.
Yeah, that's digging. Now, one used bookstore, some cat done took over. His pricing is outlandish. This is totally outlandish. So, you know.
You remember that joint we used to go to over there in Upper Marlboro behind your barber?
Yes, yes. But again,
jewels in there.
Oh, well, I found some nice jewels in that. I found some nice jewels in that. But I'm just giving a tip to the hobby, maybe the new millennial. You don't get soaked, nigga. You know what I mean?
Too late. Discogs is not changing no motherfucking prices, my nigga.
No, but I'm just saying, but there are some record stores, and again, of course, my source will remain nameless of who I'm dealing with, but I'm telling you, son, after the show, wait till I show you some of the 12 inches I done got, nigga. Hey. It's incredible. But all that being said, that's why I'm giving it to the new, trying to get the knowledge out to the hobbyists. You want to get in the game or whatever, you don't have to get your ass broke out there just to, you know, be in the vinyl game.
But to some of them, that is also a bonus. You see like a picture that looks like a piece of shit, but you paid $300 or whatever for it, $1,000 for it. So you can say, oh, I got this picture, looks like a piece of shit. Like, I know I could find the Wu-Tang album and not get my arm broken off of it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. But that's me. That's because I'm not trying to give up my coin easily, right? So everybody has their different, what they put value on. So if somebody want to pay $36 for the 36 chambers, go ahead.
Yeah, real talk, man. This particular store, I'm sure I said it before on the show, EPMD's first album is in that motherfucker for 29 bills. Ouch.
You saying?
I'm like, damn, I just got...
That's strictly business.
I got strictly business, yes.
It's all business.
Right. I'm like, damn, I got two of them, and I remember distinctly going down to the Wiz and paying $7.99.
Shout out to the Wiz.
So anyway, let me get out and talk about quickly in the hobby, and because we are dinosaurs, the golden years in the hobby is, I remember when CDs first started to come out, and then you had people, including my relatives, who may have a small record collection of probably less than 50 joints, but CDs were so intoxicating. They'd go out and buy CDs, and they'd be like, oh, do you want these records?
Yeah.
And they would just give them to me. I've got so many records like that. You know what I mean?
It's a beautiful thing. And CDs lasted all of a minute.
Right. Now, shit, they not even coasters anymore and shit. So,
like you, there were definitely ones that I bought that I had never opened. I still have not opened to this day. Just bought them because of what it was. It's dope.
That's what's up. So... That's what's good. Unless y'all got anything left over, that's enough. That's enough mad rapper shit.
Tell them why you mad, son.
I did.
I got John Blaze, son. My shit better than that.
I did. So
that back.
That's what's good. So, but anyway, so you know, so as we always do, we're gonna end the show with the Hip Hop Digest presents Redman and Method Man at the Howard Theater.
Yes, sir.
In wonderful Washington, D.C.
Indeed. So I want to give a shout out to the governor who answered the question of Teddy Riley's first record, and his answer was the show by Dougie Fresh, Slick Rick and Dougie Fresh. And you are correct, but you're I should say you're technically correct, Mr. Governor. I hate to do it to you. Teddy Riley's first credited work with his actual name on it, because Teddy Riley's name is not on the show. I don't believe it is. I'd be embarrassed if I pulled a 12-inch and the name was on it. But
but you do know he played the keyboards.
But we do know he played the keyboards on that. We do know that.
Inspector Gadget.
Right. But I have this on good authority from our man, from your boy, too, Rocky Buchano, that his first credited record was a record by Master of the Ceremony called Crime. And I see his name right on it, right here, T. Riley. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. The record is not good.
Did you say not good?
It's not good.
Not good.
No, it's
in
not
the
good.
Hallway.
Well, I you know what? I bought it. Something told me this was going to be something of historical value, and it is. And I'm keeping it.
Get up, nigga.
So all that being said, so I believe that that is Teddy Riley's first credited record. Now, Teddy Riley had never, he never talks about this record. He does talk about the show. I've even heard him talk about B-Fast Whop It. I ain't never heard him talk about this Masters of the Ceremony record, maybe because it's not good.
Damn.
So, shout out to the governor. So, now, before we get out, do we have any other questions for further ticket giveaway? Now, governor, if you want to drive to the district and go to the show, I didn't think you would, but if you do, you got the tickets. But who knows? Do we got any other... We want to. Igri was disappointed that nobody came up with the year, month, and year about when the 1200s came out.
So easy.
I mean,
so
that's easy. Just so fucking Google. What's good, niggas? Shit.
All right, then let's just do another easy one. If motherfuckers can't fuck with that easy one, I'm gonna give another semi easy one, because we say this a lot, and people should know it. When did we start podcasting?
Wow.
What year and month?
Wow, that's a big thing. I don't know, B.
It's ain't but one hip hop digest show, yo. And it ain't. That's an easy one. So, get yourself some tickets off of that question right there.
No doubt. All right, and there it is. We're ready for the world famous.
All right,
Kurt G's albums of the week.
All right, this week we got Smith and Wesson to all. That's Smith and Wesson to all.
Let the veterans in.
Yes. And we got Sean Price and Small Professor, 86 Witness.
Oh, my. What?
Sean Price and Small Professor, 86 Witness.
Oh, boy.
I saw that, too.
I'll listen to that.
Oh, yeah. That's not bad, B. An instrumental joint, Brock Berrigan, Cadillac Mountain. That's Brock Berrigan, Cadillac Mountain.
Mm.
You remember last time that he came out with something, how we were acting?
So.
Flavor.
So, we're going to end the show. Shout to the text chain, yo. I think it was Mr. Johansson who threw up that new Royal Flush.
Yeah.
And the new
Jukes.
Lost Boys.
I didn't hear the Lost
Not
Boys.
Lost Boys, well, he's from the Lost Boys, but yeah.
Oh, Mr. Cheeks?
Mr. Cheeks.
Okay, yeah. I didn't hear the Mr. Cheeks, but me and Kurt G did pregame listen to that Royal Flush, and that shit is super whack.
Oh,
what is it? Just the problem is, I don't even think it was rhyming, but it was the fact that it was just it was like shit that he had sitting around somewhere and he just decided to just throw it out there. It's like this shit wasn't even mixed, mastered, nothing.
Bad move.
Just put it out there. I understand you want to keep your name going and just throw some shit out here to keep your name in people's faces, but damn, B.
Nah, but that wasn't a good look from Royal Flush, man. And Royal Flush is, the classic Iced Out Medallions and the whole shit, yo, you know what I mean? Even the B-side Shine, crazy, but come on, man. That shit was not a good look, yo. And in Hip Hop Digest, see, this is what we do in our era. See, we take our folk to task.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's much better than that.
Ain't no sacred cows coming from our era, nigga. Peace, I'm out.
And, well, on this closing out note, Wes Dino and Peter Johansson always putting that hardcore hip hop on the chain. But today, I listened to that MEB, is it Meb or MEB featuring Guilty Simpson, Child of the Jungle? I will be listening to that over and over, yo.
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I done set my week playlist up here.
All right.
Man, it's fire, yo. All
right. That's what's good. All right. So we'll see you next week.
Yes, we will.
Peace.
One.
Could you see me soon? Cause I might spread it to these people in the waiting room. I might be contagious, need to be quarantined. Teaspoon of penicillin, CC and Thorazine. Coat rag on my head, a tub full of ice. Bringing my temp down, what is my blood type? I check the box, yes, have an addiction. Think that is the reason for my sudden affliction. Despite my admissions, thinking something more. Got pain in my brain, even harder to ignore. Don't let me talk about the stuff that I've been spitting. And although my temp is hot, I'm so cold, I'm shivering. I am the shit, and always on the crapper. Do you have a cure for an ill-ass rapper? Doctor, doctor, could you see me soon? Last night I was in the emergency room because it seems I'm so sick. When I got off the mic, people called the ambulance to make sure I was right. Doctor, doctor, can I see you soon? Last night I was in the emergency room because it seems I'm so sick. When I got off the mic, people called the ambulance to make sure I was right. And so you want me to rewind and talk about my habit? I was 7 years old when I started to get at it. Had me feeling like magic, pumping my blood veins. See the world differently, and this is never a game. My cousin got me on it, watching him and his boys. That expression on his face, I wanted to enjoy. Was going to do it anyway, and he couldn't stop me. So he taught me how, and ever since the shit has got me. My mama fussing at me because she caught me at home. Teachers saw me do it and now they sent me alone. Every time I had a problem, I go into daze. Didn't always solve the issue, but it takes the pain away. Raised on the battlefield, what else could I do? Looking at it with something better I knew. Do you have a support group that can help carry a dude? Now fuck it, I think I'm hip-hop till the day that I'm through, huh? Doctor, doctor, could you see me soon? Last night I was in the emergency room because it seems I'm so sick. When I got off the mic, called the ambulance to make sure I was right. Doctor, doctor, can I see you soon? Last night I was in the emergency room because it seems I'm so sick. When I got off the mic, people called the ambulance to make sure I was right.
Something, get them jumping for real. It's no playtime. This is adrenaline. Maryland, moving through baselines. Take time and enjoy the official. You're welcome, consider the music your blessing. What we giving is extra, give credit. You'll never hear talent again on this level, we special.
I saw my problems off the top of the temple. The top dots are essential, topics are top of the intense. Ooh, pissing at the penmanship, pit be the pensive type. The type that scratches longer to reflect on the facts of life. Raise the sun in the flesh to test the flesh and life. The rest is afterlife like a thief in the night. The mask it right, I'm asking why. Get smacked with a ruler, mad as I peruca, pasa la yerba, get high, cause I can hold a high, could've passed me by. Frappuccino rappers are fraudulent, imitating Al Pacino, swallow the falls for it. They harvesting negative energy, swear they your enemy, not that about it. They snort the drama, then I spit it out and crush the microphone and strike a tone. Sprinkle the ashes in the catacombs, cabron, simple carbon copy. You couldn't knock me, an army of dead soldiers, the dreams that I'm rolled over, couldn't battle the tragedy sober.
Yeah, I'm rising to my highest quality right now. You know what I'm saying? This the true elevation. Elevating on the mind and bringing it to the physical through the sound shit, man. Check these vibrations and see they supreme, you know? Word. Check. Yeah. Yo, Hollywood drama to jail time karma. Triple armor, highest L5, swinging katana, piece of 777. Paragraphs, as I advance, critical stance, fighting son, I'm inviting them to dance. A week entangle, but warriors is too hard to handle. Chapped up in the devil cobwebs, you get entangled. Headaches, thermometers break, tell the taxi to hit the brakes, fraudulent fakes. Bodies in the lake, Arabic hats, walk amidst the savages, cats. Niggas rushing through your door, pull a hammer for pack. Trifle impact, represented when I rap. Physically that, brother son, I'm an engine on the track. Niggas talk a lot of shit out they mouth, but I can touch you, bust you, split you with gold knuckle and snuff you. Kick your illest shit, a nigga come through, flipping the killer kung fu. Niggas just getting done when I want to. 3-4, my nigga, she saw the Roy Jones Jr. jaw, tapping the hard niggas to the floor. Predator, I said having a war for how I damage in war. Leaving your ass bandaging tall, we can speak the ignorance and get ill. Swine diet with the skill and I'm a natural male, that's how I feel. It's not poker, I play the rhyme plus I'm pot smoker. Stimulate it all in my mind, I make the clearance for the shine. Shine.
Yeah. Peace to the gods. Peace to the originals, God mind. Knowledge designed in my lyrics, you hear the proof. Not a way you can compare this, I'm on a frequency that fear can interfere with, I'm next in line to rule. So I air shit, display a rare gift to share with. I share with my people on the regular. Teach them to build, study your craft, so they become elite with a skill and grind till they equal the meal. So we even the field, actual fact, what I speak is for real. You seek to appeal, but son, the truth don't compromise. Mathematics from the beginning to the modern time. Excel, I've been nice since they had Calkanize in the ring. I'm a butcher, send beat, I slaughter guys. Take over blocks for whites, yeah, I colonize. That's what I am, I never will apologize. The God cipher, divine hard writer. My bars light up anywhere, you hook a mic up, the greatest. Something like Muhammad in this prime, the truth. I keep it all honest with our rhyme at a lethal dose. Everything I speak is dope. I get them hooked to my schemes and quotes. The tracks I create get lapped. If you out of shape, they automate your style. The third eye spot the face.
Yo, live from your metropolis, Mr. Incredible. No beaver for that green turn, cruise into vegetables. No capes, no tights, just boots, hoodies, and jeans. No Batman or Robin, just fossils and sour D's. Mars known for the murderous tones. Never clone, move smooth through those waves. Osmosis Jones. See your 16s ain't hot, but you keep some clean. I run circles around you dudes, no baby D. My steez, cop back, squeeze, let the styles breeze. Like bullets through the chamber, left with no room to breathe. These balls coming at you in 3D, at any beat. EP, I drop degrees that rise the temperature's heat. Competitors hit seven by the seventh letter. You fucking with the stranger, you wish your mama taught you better. I'm a predator collecting skulls. Blade sharp, never dull, a wolf on hot beats. And this game is looking like wool. These dudes cuddle fabric, snuggle soft. Can't fuck with my murder clan, I'm cut from a different cloth. Black man samurai with the number one headband. Raw beats and rhymes, not American. Bandstand, my bloody pen, soap notes, kaleidoscope with dope, provoking quotes. Fuck a punchline, mine's official line around your throat. Rope a dope, a beat, my art the great, not the greatest. Supreme being, all I see and free in my nation.
Spit that Brooklyn, Brooklyn.